Over the past few weeks, we've been talking into the promise. I'm coming into land on the promise. When we talked about the Holy Spirit, some people have written and said many don't know much about Him. Many don't understand His role. And so they sometimes refer in the church to the Holy Spirit as the forgotten God, the overlooked one. Someone wrote a book and said, "The God I Never Knew," referring to the Holy Spirit. And over the weeks, we spent time introducing you to who He is. There is a person that He wants to be involved in your life, and that He's God, the person of the Holy Spirit. But He also went on, we went on further to explain what His role is in your life, what He comes to bring to you. And last week, Bobby spoke about the greatest desire that God has is that you would be conformed to the image of His Son. In fact, that the Holy Spirit's desire is to make you in your behavior, in your attitudes, to be like Jesus Christ, to reflect the God that lives within you. But you can't do that in your own strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord works within you as we become more and more like Him." He's working in you. And so this morning, before I preach, I want us to pray, because I want to preach on this morning why you need to be baptized and filled with the Spirit. Why? We're answering the why. We've spoke about the who. We spoke about the what. Why the Holy Spirit wants to indwell you. Why the Holy Spirit wants to empower you and fill you and baptize you in the Spirit. But I need us to take some time. So won't you just close your eyes for a minute and shut down all the activities of today. The song you heard, the people you saw. Just bring yourself to a place. And look at the God that's looking at you. Looking at a God that loves you, and a God that wants to embrace you. Take that moment. Lord, if ever there was a time in the history of the world and in the history of Your people that we need to arise and shine, the Scripture says darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth in the book of Isaiah. But it precedes that by saying that's why You want us to arise and to shine. So come, Lord. Come this morning in this hour and fill us with Your Spirit so we can arise, so we can be those who carry the news that Jesus loves and bring hope to a world that's shattered, a nation that is wounded. Bring comfort to the brokenhearted. And then, Holy Spirit, would You come? Would You come? Stir us afresh and renew us. In Jesus' name, and God's people said together, amen. Last week, Bobby and I, and over 2 weeks, we took some time off. But last week was very special for us. We were able to take some time to get away and rest time and connect time, actually. We were also able to celebrate our wedding anniversary on the 4th of July. Now, I remember the Americans declared independence on the 4th of July. I thought I'd choose that day to get married. I'll never forget, because the Americans will never allow the world to forget the 4th of July. fireworks and display. But also there was a sense of finding a new path for the two of us. We declared that we would love God, love each other, and serve Him. And one of the days that we were off, we went through to Wellington to visit the Andrew Murray Center for Spirituality. The center is housed in what is called Hace Samuel, the House of Samuel. If you come into the building, you will see signs, or rather engraved all around the building, "And Hannah gave the child back to God." This was the original building that Andrew Murray and his wife had built in 1875. And the goal was to train missionaries that they would go and take his love, will take his light, and show his life to all men. He was there where God spoke to Andrew Murray some 2 years prior to, in 1873, in fact, when he was holidaying down at Cork Bay with his wife, and God spoke to him to tell him to build such a center. By faith, they trusted him. And during the duration of the program in this institution, hundreds and hundreds of missionaries were trained and went to all parts of Africa and the world. Barbie and I held that place very special. In 1984, where we were sensing the call of God to go to the mission field, it was there at a conference that they prayed for us on the very veranda of that institute. It was very special. And God spoke to us. As we arrived, we managed to go to the chapel where we were able to pray with some folk who were having a prayer service. As I looked out the window from that chapel, a beautiful chapel which was once formerly a stable turned into a chapel, it looked north. The windows, you looked north. And as I looked out, I saw the mountains, I saw the bushes, I saw the undeveloped lands and the fields. I saw the clouds building up for rain. And it says, God spoke to my heart as I looked out, in quiet as we were praying together. And God said, "That's how I see the world, Petra." I sense God say to me, "That's how I see the world. Broken. I see the world overwhelmed. I see people with heavy clouds over them. I see with a heart of love for them." And I closed off in prayer with the group, and we were walking out, and I engaged with someone who is working at that center. And he began to tell me more about the center. He told him that missionaries who were trained there in the early years were referred to as donkeys. Now, if you call me a donkey, ex officio scop. I asked why. Because they weren't bright? I didn't say that. I was thinking. No, they believed that they would be the donkey that Jesus came in, and they would carry his word. They would carry Jesus to the world. I sat looking, and then he showed me in the distance that the trees that I was looking at, in the crop out there, he said, "You see those stark bushes? You see the mountains in the background?" Night after night, these missionaries in training would go down to those trees you see. They called the donkey bos. And they would light their lanterns. And they would pray through the night. They were praying that they would go over those mountains. that nothing would stop them for love of Jesus. You see, they also knew there was just one pass called Bain's Kloof Pass that they would have to cross if they left the Cape and went north. Lord, give us the courage. Many were filled with the Holy Spirit as they called out on God there. Their passion was, we want to reach the lost. They were empowered to be witnesses for Jesus. And that reminded me why the Holy Spirit was given to us. Yes, to transform us. Yes, to comfort us. Yes, to help us. But he was given to empower us to be witnesses. Witness is someone who can talk and tell, but also live what they saw. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You see, what Jesus wanted us to be in this world was to be the salt and the light, to be hope carriers. Listen to what Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 16 says. "Let me tell you why you are here. You're the salt and the light. You're here to be seasoning that brings out the God flavors on this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste goodness? You've lost your usefulness. When you lose your saltiness, you'll be thrown into the garbage." Here's another way of putting it. You are the light to be here in this world, bringing out God colors to all around. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, a light stands and shines to all. Keep an open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to be open with God, the generous Father. You see, what God wanted us to be, the light, the bearers of light, shining into a world. Light brings pathways. Life brings hope. Life brings life. You can only do this when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You can only do this and be the light when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me take a few moments to talk to you about this. At conversion, salvation, you were given the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. "And now you Gentiles also have heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit." And then when you were given the Holy Spirit, you were baptized into Jesus. Now that sounds strange. Let me read the verse to you. In Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27. "You were all baptized into Christ. And so you were all clothed with Christ. This means that you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ." You came to faith, you gave your life, the Holy Spirit was put inside of you, and he lives within you. Now, when he uses the word baptize, I need to clarify what that means. I have a bottle of water here and I'm drinking from it now. That means I'm emptying it. But if I were to take this bottle and put it into a big swimming pool, it will never go empty because I'm placing it in and allowing it to be totally immersed into the water. Now, what Jesus is talking about, when you came to faith, you received Him, you received the Holy Spirit, He baptized you into the body of Christ. In other words, into His church, into His family. Some of you say, Jesus and me, we've got a good thing going. These people in the church, not me so much. Now, let me just tell you, you know that wedding, the wedding lists that you have when your children are getting married and you're looking, shall we invite auntie? Not that one. Or when you're doing your Christmas dinner, where are we going to put Uncle Fred? You know, when he has one too much, he becomes very Fredly friendly. Not him. Let's keep him off the list. I want to tell you that God's placed you into the church because you can't write people off who are your family. This is who we are. God has placed you into the church. Galatians speaks about that. And then some of us took the step to believe and got baptized into water where we said, I'm indicating that I'm passing my old life and I'm burying my old life immersed in Christ and His church. But Jesus tells His followers something. He introduces the word being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Remember, baptized means to be totally immersed. Once when He was eating with them, He told them not to leave Jerusalem. He said, wait there to receive the promise from the Father, which I told you about. John baptized you with fire, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Immersed completely with the Holy Spirit. The promise was for them. They understood the baptism of John. They saw the water. They saw the people. Now the principle of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me take you through the sequence of events. When Jesus rose from the dead, His disciples were filled with fear because they didn't know that He had risen. They were locked up in John chapter 20, behind locked doors, afraid of the Jews. And after the third day when Jesus rose, He appeared to them and He walked through the doors. And the first thing He said, do not fear. Well, if anybody walks through a door in my life, he better tell me, don't be afraid. Because it's going to be quite something. But the second time He told them not to be afraid, He says, the Father is sent me, now I'm sending you. Then He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Just like you came to Christ, you received the Spirit. You had it deposited within you. But then He told them you must wait for 40 days to be baptized. 40 days later, they were praying in the upper room. And there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Now they were baptized. Now they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Some, and this passage speaks about they spoke in tongues. I want you to notice what the emphasis of the passage is. The emphasis of the passage is being filled with the Spirit. Sadly, we've made the emphasis of that passage speaking in tongues. We focused on the tongues. And we've got sidetracks. Now, let me go public and say from this pulpit, tongues is a wonderful privilege that God gives. It's not proof that you're filled. It's a privilege that you can speak to Him in an unknown language when your spirit bypasses your mind. I was a young boy at high school. I'd just become Christian. And I was meeting with some Christians because that I thought we should do. And I began a prayer meeting. And at one stage, there were up to 100 of us meeting and praying. It was like a revival. And it was in one of those meetings, as I was praying, my hands like this, I found I was mumbling something. And I wasn't too sure what it was. I actually put my hand over my mouth. I was praying, God, I want to be used by you. Fill me. I was just privately praying. Straight after that, I waited for the teacher who I knew was a Christian. And I said, can you tell me what's going on here? He said, well, meet me after school. And took me to his classroom. And as he came in, he kind of closed the door. And by the time he got to me, to pray for me, whatever it was going to be, I asked to be filled. I asked him to pray. I didn't know what was going to happen. I just found myself speaking in an unknown tongue. Now, that's a privilege. It didn't prove, and many Christians have made it to prove that you're the better Christian if you do speak than those who are not. You're not second class if you don't speak. The emphasis of this passage is to be filled. The Bible goes clearly and tells from that point something different happened in the lives of those disciples. In John chapter 20, afraid, locked behind doors, afraid of people, afraid of the future, afraid of what's going to happen. It was in those moments, straight after the filling, Peter. Now remember who Peter is. Peter is the one who denied Jesus 3 times. Peter is the one who actually went to a point of blaspheming, curses about Jesus. This one, who was afraid of being recognized by a woman who was making a fire, one of the servant ladies. This one who was filled with fear, with all the other 11 locked behind doors, Judas had gone. Now they were so afraid. This one, Acts chapter 2, verse 14, the very first thing after being filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit. Listen to the very first thing they did. They didn't call for another church meeting. Listen to what happened. In chapter 2, verse 14, same passage. After being filled, then Peter stepped up. Stepped forward with the other 11 and shouted to the crowd and proclaimed Jesus. Something happened. He was emboldened. He was no longer afraid. He was no longer gripped by this thing of fear. There was a new boldness. They went on to be the witnesses. My dear friends, church this morning, if there ever was a time in this nation for us to stand up, to arise, and to declare that Jesus is the answer. If there ever a time for us to speak hope, to be salt, and to be light. If ever there was a time for us, it's now. Our country's quota of hope has dropped to its lowest. Why do you need to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit? So we can go carrying the lamp of light, sowing seeds into a nation that's broken. But you're not going to be able to do it in yourself. You ever find that your Christianity has become totally focused about yourself? I'm not judging. That every meeting is about you. Every time you came together, you said, what can I get out of this? What can I learn more? The hallmark of a spiritual life is, how can I give away more? How can I give to those broken, lost? How can I shine brighter, not in my home, and you should in your home. How can I be salt in that conversation? How can I be an influencer? Like Chris Matabula said, not just successful, but significant. How can I be that one? Well, the disciples found that when they were filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized in the Holy Spirit, they became those people. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, do not be drunk with wine. He's speaking about self-pleasure and all that's important to you. That will ruin you, it says. But be filled with the Spirit. I want to give you three very simple steps that help me. And Shelley, you can come. Three very basic, simple steps that if you have a desire to be salt and light, the baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit is for you sitting in this service this morning. Number one, you've got to remove the barriers. The barriers of your own prejudice, your barriers of not for me, your barriers that said, you know, what will people think? The barriers that, what's in it for me? How's this going to work? The barriers that says, I still want to be in control of my life. But maybe there are other barriers. There's secret sins. Things that you're covering up and things that you're not being honest to God. Listen to what Paul says, excuse me, Peter, when they began to preach the message of Jesus on that very day in Acts chapter 2. The people cried out, what must we do to be saved? The people were hungry. The people weren't laughing. The people were hearing this hope, this truth. And Peter says, each one of you, that means it's personal, must repent of your sins and turn to God. It means you've got to get open with God this morning. It means that you need to become honest before Him. And I haven't been in so well. I've been singing the songs, but my heart hasn't been there. I've lost my first love. I won't let go of certain things, offenses and barriers. Jesus saying, will you bring me all of you as you are? But would you let go? Would you repent? Repent means turning away. The second thing is you need to request. See, at the end of this message, I'm going to ask those who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be in their seats where we are, and we're going to pray for each other. We're going to pray for you. See, you can't expect to be filled if you don't ask. It's like saying, Lord, fill me now. See if you can move me. You see, the act of asking is an outstretched hand. It's a posture that says, I'm in need. I need your help. I can't do this Christian life on my own. I can't be a witness. I can't be amongst other people. I don't know how to be. The sin always takes hold of me. I can't get victory. You've got to ask. In Luke chapter 11, verses 11 to 13, it says, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Or if you ask for an egg, or if they ask for an egg, excuse me, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you are sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You have got to come to a place of humility. See, I've discovered that often pride is covered up with these words. I can do it on my own. I'm fine. I don't need others' help. No, it's a cover up. With God, He says, humble yourself. Ask. Third thing is, you need to receive. And for that, you need to be open. For that, you need to be receptive. It takes steps of faith. When you came to Jesus, you took a step of faith. You said, Jesus, come in my heart. And And then you began to follow him. And then there were moments in your life that you needed to trust him again. You took steps of faith. And those who trust him, he promises, I will not withhold anything from you. Peter was the one who said, Lord, call me and I'll come to you and step out of the boat. There's a stepping out of faith that needs to take place. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, 3 to 5, we read of an incident of a man who is led and taken by the hand. And the symbolism here is water, which is significantly symbolized by the Holy Spirit in the New and the Old Testament. The man went towards the east with a line in his hand and measured about 1/3 of a mile. Then he led me through the water and he came up to my ankles. The man measured about 1/3 of a mile again and led me through water and he came up to my knees. Then he measured another 1/3 of a mile and led me through the water and he came up to my waist. The man measured about 1/3 of a mile again, but it was now a river I could not cross. The water had risen too high. It was deep enough for swimming. It was a river no one could cross. The man got baptized in that river because he allowed himself to say, Lord, I'll take that step. I've been walking with you for a while. I've trusted you. It's up to my knees. Lord, I've trusted you there. Now it's up to my waist. Lord, now I'm going to let you take control. That's the steps of faith to receive the Holy Spirit. Because when you're in the water, you lose control. Control is an illusion that we think we have. God wants to do something in your life this morning. He wants to empower you so that you will be able to be salt and light in our broken world. I want our church to be people filled with a spirit that light is shining, that they're putting salt wherever they go, that they're influencing our world, that they know that they're not just living successful lives, but lives that are significantly influencing this world. Can I have an amen on that? I want you to prepare, because we're going to pray, where you are in your seats. In a moment, the worship team will come up and join me. We're going to sing a song, and I want you to take your first step to say, Lord, I'm here today. Take your next step to your knees and say, Lord, I'm open to what you want to do. And come to the next piece, part, and let the water come up to your waist and say, Lord, I'm going to let you. And then just let him fill you with his Spirit, and I'm going to pray for you after we sung. So would you stand together? Would I ask you now, please, put down anything that's distracting you. He made the disciples wait for 40 days. Not because he wasn't in trying to be ugly, but he knew they were so distracted. They'd had to get them 40 days of praying so they could be ready. I'm going to ask you, abandon yourself this morning. Let God minister to you and fill you with His Spirit.